Good morning. Could we take that spotlight down again just a little bit? Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. Excited about the word that we're going to hear this morning. Let's all just stand for a minute. I'm going to read a couple scriptures. We're going to pray. Let me read you this scripture. It says, I have set before you life and death, blessings, cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. I want us just to say something this morning. I want you just to say, I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
The curse is broken over my life.
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 The curse is broken over my life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that your word is real, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Lord, we just send the word out this morning that lives will be changed, that people would be set free, that we would be delivered from things, that we would be healed, that we would be blessed. And in the name of Jesus, we release these words. May your anointing flow in this house, Holy Spirit. We give you free rein to move in our midst, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Well, today we're going to talk about the curse of the law, and before we get into it, you know, we're going to talk about how sin is passed down to us, but I want to talk about, too, how generational things are, and, you know, I thought about things about my own life. And I always have to tell a story to start out with. So I want to start with my farm story because there's a few guys that request that. they're like, it's just not a message unless you tell us something about your farm. But you know, like, my grandfather was a dairy farmer. And he had four children. None of them farmed. He had 13 grandkids. And out of the 13 grandkids, I'm the only one that's got that in my blood. Like, it was born right in me. Even to this day, like, when I drive outside the city and I smell manure, like cow manure, I know most people hold their nose and pinch it, but I love it. I'm going to tell you, I love the smell of that. I crank down the windows and suck it right in. You know, it draws me right to, almost to a barn. It's like, it's the opposite effect that a woman's cooking does on a man. You know, like you'll see in cartoons and ladies cooking in a pie or something. This guy just, you know, inhales it and falls it right into the kitchen. Well, you know, they say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Well, the way to my heart is through the barn. But, you know, I thought about that, how that was passed down to me from my grandfather in a skip generations, even my horse love, like because I kept horses. My other grandfather was known for, before he moved here, in his young days, in his 20s and stuff, he was known to have the nicest horses, they called it, on the hill where he lived. Like there was a whole family up there and they had farms and stuff, and they always said he had the nicest horses on the hill and the best well-trained. So it skipped generations, but you know, you know, I think about these things, how they're passed down. Even myself, I used to always breed one horse to this old horse called Sarge. He was a paint. I don't know if you know what a paint horse is, but a paint horse is the one's got the big markings like the Indian horses, you know, if you see in the cowboy movies, if you ever watch one. I watch them, but big, you know, so I bred all my horses used as a Sarge because I knew he was always going to throw me color. He was always going to be a nice marked out horse. And you know, things come to us from passing downs. And so
I want to read, and my first point is everyone is born with a generational sin in their life, on their life. The Bible says in Romans, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. The Bible says in Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In Exodus, it says that I lay the sins of the parents upon the children and the grandchildren on the entire family is affected, even the children of the third and fourth generation. So we live in a world that we're a sinful world, and sin is put on us from birth. Now, I have a hard time with this because I have a granddaughter that's 6 months old that's born into sin. Now, I can't, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, this is perfect. She's gorgeous. She looks like me. You know. But that little girl is born into sin. Kids are born into sin. We're born into sin. I'm born into sin. But God made a provision for us, right? Yeah. The sins of Adam that fell down onto us, God made a provision for that. With those sins come curses. The Bible says that. But we're redeemed, the Bible says, from the curse of the law. Right? We have to break the sin. We have a provision. Sin in our life is, you know, it's almost instinctual. Is that a word? Instinctual? Instinct. Right? Instinct. You know, like I think about back to the farm. A calf, when it's born, it knows, as soon as it's born, it knows to get up. And in just minutes, like, you'd think it would take a long time. I mean, never timed it. But it might be, from the time it comes out to the time it stands, might be a couple minutes. That mom will lick it and clean it. And it'll be up, standing, wobbling, trying to find the milk, looking for mommy's titty, you know, searching for it. You bump in the front leg and, you know, the front quarters of the cow, and then finally it'll work its way around the back and it'll find that and start sucking. It's instinct, right? Our life, you know, instinct is sin in our life because we're born into it. It's not a learned trait. It's just there, right? Because of the fall of Adam. But, you know, when we put God first, when we're redeemed, our instinct changes. It should change. So, but we're redeemed. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. You know, I think of my little granddaughter too. I pray a blessing on her and not a curse. You know, I got her picture on my phone and I say, in the name of Jesus, you're blessed, you're healthy, you're whole, you're going to share the gospel when you get, you know, older, you're going to be smart, you know, you're going to do things, because I got it right on my phone, that little picture, right? I'm praying for the new one that's in the baby's, that's in mama's belly right now, that the anointing's going to be on this boy. We don't know it's a boy, but we think it's a boy. That he's going to preach the gospel. Amen. We should be taking that approach. You know, like this message, it's really interesting because these things are passed down from generations to generations. And you see that, you know, and you can see in homes that, like I know people that, you know, the grandfather was married three times, the son was married three times, and the grandson's married three times. Those things, they follow us down, and we have to break that stuff. We have to break that stuff in our life. We have to just, you know, curse that out and say, in the name of Jesus. But I think about that stuff. And, you know, I was looking at this message for over a month thinking, I don't want to speak this message. I wanted to speak this other message. And the Lord was keep bringing me back to it. And then he reminded me on Wednesday night when Pastor Ken took over and talked about the chains that bind us and things and come back. And get this, guys. My message got solidified last night by watching Netflix. Do you believe that? I was watching Netflix, and the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, this message, see, I'm right on. It's for us. I was watching a documentary on Jake the Snake Roberts,
You know who Jake the Snake Roberts is? He's a wrestler, okay? How can the Lord solidify your message on breaking the curse? By watching a documentary on a washed-up wrestler. But it was about his career, how he was a great wrestler, and how, you know, he was at the top of his game. And then he gave into his demons from the past. He gave into his drug and alcohol abuse, and the guy went from the top of the ladder down to the bottom, down so much that he was terribly out of shape, ready to almost die, addicted, controlled, you know, couldn't even get out of a chair, and controlled. And he said, I never wanted to be like this. He said, my father was like this. And he said, I didn't want to be like this. And he said, the things that I didn't want came on me. And it was, you know, he was crying when he was given it. And I was kind of even wiping a tear. I was feeling for this guy. You know, his whole life was ruined. But there is always the lining. Even though it wasn't a Christian one, but it was somewhat. There was another wrestler called Diamond Dallas Page. I don't know. The wrestling people here? Diamond Dallas Page started a drug rehabilitation thing in his house. And he started to call up some of his old wrestling buddies. And he knew the state that Jake the Snake was in. He went to his house and took some people and said, you know, you can beat this. You can redeem yourself. There's redemption for you. And he took them to his place, and they put a team around him, and they begin to teach him yoga. They begin to teach him to eat right and feed him right and work out with him. He couldn't even bend over, and he lost all this weight. He got healthy. He broke his drug addiction and his alcohol addiction. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame, which they didn't think they would induct him. He even went to the Royal Rumble, I'm saying right? In like, I think 2010. You know, he had a comeback. He didn't let those things that held him down determine his future. And we need to begin to break these things in our life. Right? The things of the past that are given to us from our families. You know, I look at my family too, and I can see things that you know, can hold us back, you know? Like, you know, when I think of, there's people that have depression, and it follows from Grampy and Grammy, and down to the parents, and down to the, you know, you need to break that stuff. The Bible says that we can break that. Amen? The Bible says that the yoke, I'm going to just read this to you, that I will break the yoke around your neck and tear back the shackles. The Bible gives us strength. God will break the yokes of bondage on us. He'll destroy that if we'll allow it to. We just can't yield to it. We can't yield to these things. We have to be strong in the power of the Lord and say, I'm redeemed from the curse law. When we go back to that scripture, it may say that there's a curse on us, but if you read on, it says we're redeemed. What does redeem mean? I'll tell you what redeem means. Anybody know right off? But I'll tell you what it means. I looked up the definition. It means to free somebody from bondage. Amen. Redeemed. We're free from bondage. Amen?
Yes.
We're free from bondage. We should be excited. We're free from bondage. It says to set free as from slavery or kidnapping by providing money or other compensations. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We were bought with a price. It might not have been a financial price, but we were bought with something great, and it was the blood of Jesus. Amen? We were bought, and things were paid for on our behalf by the blood of Jesus. We're set free today from sickness, death, poverty, all the sins of the past. We are set free by the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ went to hell. He took back the keys of darkness, and he bruised the head of Satan and set us free. We should be excited this morning. It should make you want to run around this place. We can hoop and holler at a hockey game, or a soccer game or a basketball. My wife goes crazy at basketball. But when we get in church, we should get excited when we realize that Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You're set free. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be controlled in your life. You're set free by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in what he did. He set us free. He redeemed us. Wow. Isn't that exciting? Huh? Maybe we should just take a second here and thank Jesus for what he's done for us. Let's just do that. Let's just lift our hands right where we are. Father, we thank you that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law. Lord, we thank you that you broke the curses in our life. You broke the addictions. You broke our shortcomings and our things that hold us back in life. Lord, we speak life today. We speak blessings in the name of Jesus. We praise you for what you did in Jesus' name. Amen. We're redeemed. We got something to be excited about. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. We should be able to take on the biggest bully in life. Amen. Because the greater one lives within us. He lives within us. We're full of the power. You know, the anointing of God will break any yoke of bondage. He'll break every yoke of bondage. You know, it talks about that in the Bible, about praying over people and anointing them with oil. I carry my little bottle of oil with me. Keep it in my truck. Keep it close to me because I know the anointing breaks the yoke. We don't see that much anymore, but, you know, even in my house, take that. If you got things that are binding you, that are troubling you in your life, get a bottle of oil. If you got to go use the Crisco, I've used the Crisco oil before. And I've taken it, and I've gone through my house, and I've anointed the beds and the bedrooms. I've anointed the walls. I've anointed the fridge, the stove, the TVs. I've gone out and anointed the vehicles. I've anointed my business before. If you've got problems in your business, take the oil and begin to anoint your business. Begin to anoint your kids' rooms and their clothes, you know. I'm telling you, the anointing will break the yoke of bondage. It'll break every yoke. When you're up against it, take the anointing. Go to prayer and anoint your place. My grandmother, I like to tell this story every once in a while, but she was a faith-minded lady. And he knows where I'm going. And I've kind of had to do it before in my life. I haven't done it for a while, but I have chased the devil out of my house, you know, before, many times. And my grandmother, when she'd feel like an attack from the devil, she was the one I'd say we got the anointing from, because she'd do these crazy things too, eh? And I don't mind it, because she was full of the Holy Ghost and blessed in power and filled with God. And I know she told my mother, and my mom told me, she got the broom out, and she began to sweep the devil out of the house. She went to every room in the house and she began to sweep it out. And she began to sweep it out and she chased the devil and she went right out on the porch, my mom said, and swept him right off the porch. I'm telling you, that's the faith and the power we need in our life. That's the power we need. You know, I think about my grandmother and I think about generational blessings and curses. And my grandmother was full of God and she was full of faith and prayer and she gave it to my mom. My mom was the same way, and you know what? I feel she gave it to me, too. My grandmother, I know she prayed over me. I know she knew when I was in my mom that I was going to be a boy, because she knew everybody that was going to be born. And so she prayed over me, and I know that gift's passed down, just like in the Bible. It says in Timothy that the Spirit of the Lord was passed down from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. That's what we need to do. We need to pass down those spiritual gifts, those spiritual strengths down to our kids. We need to break the chains of the enemy that would try to pull us back. And we need to plant the spiritual gifts. We need to speak them over. We need to plant spiritual harvest in our family, in our lives. Not just our family, but in our own lives. Begin to plant that. You know, when you notice that something from the past is coming up and rearing its head, begin to resist it. Cut it off. Cut it off right there. Just declare the word of the Lord. Say, no, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. devil, you have no dominion in my life. You have no dominion in my business. You have no dominion in my wife. You have no dominion in my kids or my grandkids or in anything I do. Declare the power of God over that in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, the devil is a liar. He's a liar. Sometimes we just need to just call a spade a spade. Can I say that? The devil is a liar. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He wants to destroy us. Don't let him have way in your life. Don't let him rule you. Don't let him control you. Give in to the Spirit of the Lord. Let me read you something. The Bible says we're blessed, right? We're redeemed. We're set free. We're not captive. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, it says, blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall you be wherever you go. Blessed shall you your fruit of your body and the fruit of the ground and the fruit of the cattle. The increase of the kind, the flocks of the sheep, blessed in the basket, the storehouse, blessed coming in and going out. Everything you do should be blessed. Begin to speak that. Believe that. We're blessed. Yes. We're not living under the curse. We don't have to kill a bull or a cow or a sheep and put it, you know, make an altar. We're redeemed from that now because of Jesus. He's redeemed us. We're blessed. Your business should be blessed. Amen? Yes. Everything you do should be blessed. Lumi's business is blessed in the name of Jesus. Everything she puts her hand to will be blessed in the name of Jesus. Isn't the Bible say that? The Bible says that we shall be like a tree. I love that scripture. That we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season. Man, I'm telling you, a tree grows best right next to the water. Huh? Amen? When we're close to God, everything we do shall be blessed. Her business should be blessed. Amen. Our church should be blessed. Yes. To overflow. Yes. I'd like to see our church spill over the side of the barrel like the Bible talks about being full. So much that we don't have room. That we got to go to a third service. And it forces us to go to a fourth service. Might force us to have Saturday night service. Amen. Sure. That should be our goal. That we're blessed. That we're affecting. That we're going somewhere. That we're just not sitting back. My second point. How am I doing on time? Great. All right. Second point. There's 10. Forgive me, Lord. No, there's only 2. Praise God. He's good. It says you can speak a blessing or a curse over your life, your family, and individuals. Let's just let that sink in for a little bit. Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue, in the power of our tongue. You can speak a blessing or a curse over your life, your family, your individuals. Wow. We can change things to a positive or a negative by what we say. You know, you meet people that say, "Well, oh, I think I know I'm 25 years old, but I probably won't make it to 50 because my dad died when he was 50 of a heart attack." Well, if you keep speaking that long enough, you probably will. You know, if you keep speaking that you're going to be sick, oh, you'll probably be sick. It's proved before. You keep telling yourself you're not a winner and that you're a loser, you'll be a loser the rest of your life. The Bible says we can have whatsoever we say. We don't have to be a loser. Maybe I shouldn't say that word. Loser. Maybe that's a bad word. I know we've played games before and we do this to each other. You know. But we don't have to be losers. We're winners. And we can speak a difference We can either tear people down or elevate people up. We can either say, yeah, I know you've been dealt some bad odds, but you know what? You don't have to stay there. God can use you. He can multiply what you're doing. It doesn't matter that you're only getting a C in school. You can get an A. Yeah. Begin to declare that over your kids. Your kids can declare it. You know, you can say, well, I'm not going to do well in university. Well, if you keep speaking that long enough, you won't do well in university. Or same way with your job. Yeah. Our words are powerful. We have, the Bible says, that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Our tongue has that much power. We can build up or we can tear down. You know, the lady with the issue of blood, there's a prime example. She said, if I can just touch his garment, okay, before she got healed. Now, every odd was against her, every odd. She had been to every doctor. She had exhausted everything in her life to get a healing, to be able to live. Everything. And she had no results. But she said, if I can just touch Jesus, I know I'll be made whole. She spoke it with her words. If I can just touch Jesus. If I can just touch Jesus. You know, if we can just touch Jesus. If we speak that, if I can just touch Jesus, right, things will change in our life. Mark 11, 23, 24, one of my favorite scriptures, says, for surely I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he'll have whatsoever he said. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. Amen? Amen. What mountains in your life? What strongholds in your life? Amen? What strongholds? What's controlling you? What mountain? There's no mountain big enough that Jesus can't help you climb. There's no mountain big enough that can't be destroyed and thrown into the sea, right? It doesn't matter. You might have been addicted for drugs for 50 years. It doesn't matter. We still serve a God that's big enough to break that addiction. You might have struggled with depression your whole life and say, oh, I can't get over this. And my grandmother had it, and my mother had it. Well, I'm telling you, you can. You can have whatsoever you say. You can have whatsoever you say. You can speak to that mountain. You can say, be thou removed in the name of Jesus. Yes. Right? Because Jesus has broken the curse. We are serving a chain breaker. Yes. A chain breaker. A chain. Things that wrap us up. The yoke. The things that control us. The yokes that you put on a cow, a big oxen to control it. He snaps them in two and sets us free. We're free from those things. Yes. If we can speak these things over our lives and over our family and over our kids, right? Over our friends, over our business. Speak that I'm blessed. Speak that people are going to come in. Nobody might be coming in. You might be standing at the door wondering if another customer is going to come in. And you can just stand there and say, in the name of Jesus, if you got that much time to stand around, you got enough time to pray. That's how I look at it. And if nobody's coming into your business to buy whatever it is, shoes, clothes, pizza, then you got time to pray. And maybe he's not bringing people in because he wants you to pray. Yeah. Amen? Maybe he wants us to pray. Take that opportunity and begin to pray. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Get alone with God. Speak a word. Speak over your business. Amen. You know, speak a blessing in the name of Jesus. We can change. We can have whatsoever we say if we allow it to. You see, it all depends on us. You know, God's given us power. He's given us power to have dominion in the earth, the Bible says. Yep. He's given us dominion. If you're not being, I hate to even use this word, but if you're not doing well, it's nobody's fault but your own. And I know we go through things sometimes, but you know, there's sometimes you have to take the bull by the horns, so to speak. You got to take the reins, and you got to lock yourself away and pray, and you got to begin to speak a positive word, you know, and you got to know that if God be for us, who can be against us? And you got to know that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You see, it takes part and part. God is the master, and he's our source, but we have to actually do something. The Bible says we need to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We can read the word and we can listen to things and we can be actionless, right? We can be actionless. Don't be just hearers. Begin to speak the word. Begin to take authority. Declare things in your house and in your life today. Make declarations. Make declarations. It's powerful. Your words go out in there and they don't go in return void. They're powerful. The word says that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're set free. We're redeemed in the name of Jesus. Let's all stand. And we're going to kind of start the way we started. I want you to repeat something with me. I want you to repeat that I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
I am redeemed from the curse of the law.
I am redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse is broken in my life.
The curse is broken in my life.
Wow. You guys actually sound like you mean it now. Amen. There's a difference from before and to the end. Amen.
Amen.
We serve a chain breaker. We serve a God that's redeemed us from sickness, from poverty, from spiritual death. He set us free from our sins. We're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things have become new in our life. We serve a chain breaker. He's broken our sin in our life. Let's just take a minute. We're going to sing this song, and I'm going to just pray with you. You know, like I'd pray over everybody. If you have feel you need a special need, I think we have time. We can anoint you with the oil. And if not, I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. So let's just take a minute and let David just lead us in break every chain today. And we're going to leave this place this week victorious, not defeated, not trodden down, not controlled by the past, not controlled by sin, but controlled by Jesus. Our Savior, right? Controlled by our Savior in the name of Jesus. There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain.
Say it one more time.
There is power.
thank you, Lord, that you've redeemed us from the curse of the law and that you have broken the yokes over us. Lord, we thank you that when you sent your Son to this earth, that he took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and that we're redeemed by the blood of Jesus, Lord. I pray in this house, I declare in the name of Jesus that chains will be broken in families, over lives, over businesses, in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. I speak a blessing that healing would take place today over people here. I speak prosperity in the name of Jesus over them. I speak the favor of God. I speak deliverance in the name of Jesus right now. Lord, I pray that you'll break the addictions that may control people, the secret addictions, in the name of Jesus. I bind that in Jesus' name, and I release the power of God right now. The anointing will break that in Jesus' name. I declare these things. Lord, I declare that we'll take the word that was spoken to us, and we'll speak it over our kids. We'll speak it over our grandkids and our great-grandkids and our great-great-grandkids. I pray, Lord, that the power of God and the anointing that's in our lives will transfer down in our families. Lord, give us a full heart for you today. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your goodness, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Take these words this week and use it. When the enemy might come against you and challenge you, say no. You know, when an old feeling from the past comes on you, you know, the enemy knows our weakness. He knows, you know, where he can catch us. Resist the devil. Don't give no place to the enemy. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Fight the devil. Resist him. Pray over your business. Pray over your uncles and your aunts and your grandparents and your moms and your dads and your kids and the people you work with. Yes. Pray for the people of Kitchener. Yes. Pray that our church becomes overfilled. Yes. Pray that our church grows. You know, not to build a bigger building, but that we can be effective, that we can minister to people, that lives can be changed in Kitchener. Let's get specific. Let's begin to pray that the anointing of God that breaks the yoke will break yokes in people's lives, and that we'll end up going to 3, 4, 5, how many services? We might have to have a whole team of pastors to preach all these different messages. That's what we should set our sights on. Things greater than the physical, but the things of the spiritual. Be blessed today in the name of Jesus. Pastor Ken.
Great message, something to take home. And what comes to my heart is what Paul's word to the church at Corinthians: be steadfast, unmovable. And that's what we need to do. You take this word, you just steadfast, you're unmovable. It doesn't matter what happens, what your eyes see, you're steadfast, you're unmovable, you're proclaiming it. And I was interested in the context of this message. The verses that talk about the curse being broken in our life is right after those verses. That's our theme for the year that I set before you, life and death. Choose life. And then it goes on to talk about how the power is there that's broken everything. So lay hold of it today. Lay hold of it. Great word. Receive it, digest it, speak it, and let's go on and live in the victory that this word gives us. You're dismissed this morning. Fellowship together, have a coffee, whatever. Go in the name of the Lord. Remember, Wednesday night, we'll be back here worshiping, praising, praying, everything. Wednesday night at 7. You're dismissed.